Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace and goodwill towards each one of you. We choose today to praise Thee, Lord, and bless Thee. We worship Thee and we glorify Thee. We give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory, O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord, Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Spirit, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And with those around you, just gather by your mercy that we are here this morning, Lord. We confess to you that by our natures, we are indeed a tangential people. And therefore, we ask now, Lord, for you to do by your Spirit what only you can do, and you do best in your house and at your table. And Lord, I trust you this morning to disclose yourself by your Spirit to every knee that bows at this altar rail, to take this bread and to take this cup. It is not the ministration of men and women that we need so much as that sweet ministration of your Holy Spirit that you said, Lord, you give directly to take of what is yours and to make it ours. And Lord, in the simplicity of this gathering, as we identify with the people of God worldwide who gather, Lord, in the strangest of places, but to a common presence, to take a common cup and a common loaf. We identify this morning with the church of God worldwide that have all come to you one by one and are all sheep of your pasture. And Lord, even as we come to this rail this morning, Lord, will you turn our hearts over again and inside out? Will you move us, Lord, in the very depths of our being to remind us again in our forgetful ways what it meant to Thee, the Holy One, to take away my sin. And may there, Lord, be such a revelation of your goodness in what you have saved us from, that for more than one dear heart this morning, will you recover for them at this altar rail the joy of their salvation this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Just want to read some words of Scripture as we prepare to take the sacraments this morning. If you turn with me to John's Gospel, in the 14th chapter, the lovely words of Jesus that we know as the Upper Room Discourse. Jesus' communication around his table at the Upper Room. Steve and I were talking to one another last night, and we worked out that I was leading the service this morning, he was leading worship, and we had half a voice between the two of us, and most of that half was mine. And just want to thank you, Steve. And that's a good thing, because the voice we need to hear is Jesus' voice. Read with me chapter 14. I'm reading verse 25 and 26, 27, where Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Chapter 15, verse 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. These words are just mind-blowing. Let them just sink into your heart as if you've never heard them before. It is to your advantage that I go away. What does that tell you about your expectation of the Holy Spirit in disclosing Jesus to you? It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. I just felt strongly impressed this morning to remind you as you come to take communion. And as I said at the beginning of the service, our purpose for gathering this morning is it's not for a preaching session. It's not even for, in that sense, an extended praise session. It's really a very concentrated presence session. And what I have read from is this extraordinary after-dinner talk of Jesus. It says when he finished supper, he started to talk to these guys. And as you know, this section began with a foot wash, and it ended with that tremendous high priestly prayer of intercession in John 17. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus, just before he ascended, reminded the disciples of the promise of the Father, which he went on to say, he said, which you have heard of me. It is interesting, it is this communication of Jesus in the context of the cross that is the motherlode of his communication about the work of the Holy Spirit and the ground for our understanding and the premise for just about all we know and should expect about the work of the Spirit. If I can put it this way, it is the premise for the promise that is to be given. And Jesus, as you will have noticed as I read, began to speak repeatedly of the Helper. And at this communion today, at this reenactment, as it were, of the Last Supper, though we celebrate this side of an empty tomb, it is not Jesus, man of Galilee, we come to. It is Jesus, glorified right hand of the Father Christ, that we come to. But the point I want to make is that when we come to take the cup and the bread, we can speak no less of the precious Holy Spirit than Jesus did when he took that bread and he took that cup. And when we gather and when we bow the knee this morning at this place, it is going to be, I prophesy to you, it will be the work of Jesus by his Spirit to disclose to you personally, to the private address of your heart, what you need to receive from him on this day. And you know, he is so gorgeously brilliant that he can disclose a different thing to every heart that comes. How wide is his mercy? How deep is his knowledge of us? How thorough is his love for us, that would not have any hard place of our heart not turned by the blade of his word and his love for us. And the awesome truth is that Jesus has given us of his Spirit so that the Holy Spirit, as he ministers to us, ministers in no less a way, this is the logic, in no less a way than Jesus would if he was physically here. My soul says, wow. The enemy loves to make that disconnect between the work of the Spirit and the personhood of Jesus. He'll keep you thinking it's some kind of vague essence for as long as you will. That's a way of keeping Jesus out and away from having his transcendent fingers settle on the locks and the bolts of our heart. And so when we come this morning and take this bread and cup, I want to unashamedly say, regardless of your denominational background, we come to a real presence. It is not real because I have to believe it becomes necessarily a real body or real blood. It is real presence because the Spirit reveals the real Jesus. And it's impossible for there not to be real presence. In fact, it is so present, says Jesus, that he describes it, and he can only describe it here, as being in you. And you see in the same context he says at his Last Supper, his words are spirit and they are life. And I invite you this morning, as the words are spoken over you, this is my body broken for you. And this is my blood shed for you. These are the words of Jesus that are spirit and are life. They are infusion and freshness and disclosure of the Jesus who we unashamedly stood and said, aren't you beautiful, Lord? I love standing. It's wonderful as a man to be able to stand in the presence of the Lord in the congregation and say, oh, you're my man, Jesus. You're the man of all men. You are beautiful to me. You are gorgeous in your ministrations to my hard heart. John 14:16. I just want to give you some applications so that when you come to this altar this morning, you can take responsibility. Not me, not anybody else. You know your heart this morning. You know the contours of your life. You know what is inarticulate and articulate in your expectation of the Lord. You bring all of that to this rail this morning. Bring it all down. Jesus says, we need a helper. Love to call the Spirit the helper. If any of you need help of the Lord this morning, let him come. But receive it. Receive it. Take it. It's not hanging a foot away from you. Appropriate it. Take it. Maybe even as you put your hands out to receive the bread and take it to your mouth, take his help into your very being this morning. And name what it is in the silence of your heart. Let him disclose himself to you. He says he was a counselor. You who need counsel this morning, come. Receive the counsel of the Lord. You'll be amazed at what the ministrations of the Holy Spirit will quicken to your heart and mind in the presence of the Lord Jesus. He's the paraclete. Jesus described him as the consoler and the comforter. And it's interesting, it's that double, there's that repetition in John 14 where he models the work of the Holy Spirit to his disciples in those wonderful words, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let he or she who is troubled, let he or she who fears, let him come. This is my body, this is my blood. Let Jesus minister himself to you by the Holy Spirit. He said the Spirit would abide forever. There is no loss, dear heart, when we come to Jesus. There is no ground to accept. There is some part of our life or experience that we just have to live with it, and it's somehow outside the orb of the Lord's work, of the Spirit's reach. He is not some passing influence. He says he will abide with you forever. I will not leave you orphans. Let he or she who feels orphaned, let him come and receive a spirit of sonship and a spirit of daughterhood. John 14:26, he calls him the helper again, sent in Jesus' name. And he says he will teach you all things. Let those who need instruction of the Lord Jesus, let them come. Receive. It is the work of the Spirit to teach. But come with a teachable heart. It may be your confession is that you have not had a teachable heart. It may be that you have been stubborn like the mule. It may be that the Lord has been saying over you in your life that the horse can be guided by a bridle, but oh, how I would teach you the way for you to walk in. Let him who needs teaching receive Jesus by the Spirit. Let him come. He says he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said. We are a forgetful people. I prayed in my prayer, we're tangential. We pick up scrap heaps a little. We make ourselves content with the fringes of his power. His invitation is not to a promise box faith. He wants us to be brought into remembrance of all things that he has said about us and for us and to us. And if you have a tangential, forgetful mind, come this morning and let the Lord bring you back into a place of remembrance, if nothing else, what he has done for you through Jesus, that is a guarantee that can he not also do all things for you? Peace I leave with you. Again, let the heart that is troubled, let him come and receive the peace of Jesus this morning. John 15:26, again he says, when the helper comes who I will send, he says he is a spirit of truth. I know I'm speaking to more than one of you this morning. I'm sure all of this teaching of Jesus applies to all of us, and some of it more in particular. But dear heart, whether it's confusion of mind this morning and confusion of thought, deception and muddle, sinful complication, maybe an evasiveness of your own heart, Spirit of truth, let him come to you. Let Jesus come as truth to you. Let him cut with his knife through the tangled web of all. He deals in truth. Come and receive the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and agree to do it and walk in it. And he says the Spirit will testify. You see, the Spirit loves to spotlight Jesus. It's what the Spirit does best. He is the floodlight of heaven that is always saying, when our eyes are set on so many other things and people and churches and what's the service going to minister to me about and what's it? Jesus. He floodlights Jesus. And as you bow the knee and take the bread and the cup this morning, maybe in the silence of your heart you want to mouth it, come, Jesus. Spirit, Jesus. Reveal Jesus. John 16:7-15. It's what I call decent exposure. You're all aware of the phrase indecent exposure. This is the decent exposing work of the Holy Spirit who convicts. His work is to convict. He is an advocate of those who believe. But there is a sense in which there is a prosecuting attorney role as he comes to the heart to convict. Maybe I'm talking to someone this morning and you can't remember the last time that you confessed anything to the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Bow the knee. Let it be a spirit that convicts. And if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and in a twinkling of an eye, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the reasons so many are bound and limited in their worship is they're limited in their experience of confession and forgiveness of sin. And then Jesus says, He will glorify me. Here's this floodlight. Here's this spotlight. The Holy Spirit is the matchmaker. He takes Jesus. He takes me. Jesus, He says to me. Jesus, Stuart. Whatever the contours of your heart this morning, as we come now to this altar, it's not going to be an extended time of ministry this morning. I'm just going to invite you to come. You're going to be served. And we release you to have dealings with Jesus this morning. As you go back to your seat, you may need to commune. It may be appropriate for you to take out your scriptures and read these verses. It may be appropriate for you to speak out what's on your heart with a friend. It may be you need to turn, sir, to your wife, or wife to your husband, or friends to one another and say, pray for me. But receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Whether your heart needs His teaching or His abiding, His adopting, His exposing, His reminding, His guiding, His glorifying. And it's, I can't explain it. I just love the simplicity of this. It's so wonderful as a church to make room for Jesus. And Jesus loves us doing this. You know, He asked us to do this. How He must love this. Just get a sense of His pleasure. There are a lot of things in services and orders of service that are movable feasts, but this is not one of them. You can take away just about everything else. If all we're left with is this bread and cup, we have everything. For out of this flows the rivers of life and all that we need. So again, dear hearts, let the bread and the wine be spirit and life. And it may be helpful for you to do something this morning. It may be as you come. It may be that you just literally need to breathe in. You may need to just inhale the goodness of God. And you may want to watch, because one of the reasons I find communion so overwhelming is I sometimes stand here and I can't help myself. Because I look at faces and I look at you, and everyone who comes to this rail, one by one, people come. What a God who's brought us so surely, one by one. Millions on this earth, one by one. And we all have a named place at His table. We're not a crowd this morning. Appropriate what you need. Let the Spirit give to you, be to you. What you need this morning, receive it. It is directly from the hand of Jesus. Take it. And in taking the bread and the cup into yourself, just take in deeply this morning. And as Steve and the team lead in worship, just take in the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Let every brow be touched by Jesus. And in coming to this altar this morning, as you get out of your seat and come, you are publicly, unashamedly pledging your allegiance to Jesus Christ. You are saying before every watching principality and power and demon in hell, I am the Lord Jesus' son and daughter. And what He loves to say to you when He blesses you is, and I want you to know that all of me is all of yours. This is my body, broken for you. And this is my blood shed for you. Let us pray. Our precious Lord Jesus, Lord, there are many things we could be invited to that we'd consider an honor. But we tell you this morning, there is no greater honor than to be openly invited by you, to dine with you and with our friends, to take this bread and to take this cup, to establish this memorial, this remembrance, as a non-negotiable rhythm of our life. As a provocation for our gratitude and our worship, and a provocation again, Lord, for us to confess our need and to unashamedly say we stand in great need of your mercy. But we believe in you, and we know you are a generous Father, and we know that when we ask for bread, you do not give a stone. And therefore, I pray by faith, Lord, that for every heart that comes and in simplicity receives this bread and receives this cup this morning and sits in your presence in our worship, will you give them your bread of life? May it have your fingerprints on it, that their assurance will be, you love them. You are mindful of every nerve end of their being. And they are not overlooked. They are not orphaned. And I ask now for a spirit of sonship and a spirit of daughterhood to be dispensed to every heart. And if there's anyone here, Lord Jesus, who's never bowed the knee to you, who knows about you but doesn't know you, Lord, may this be their first communion as they come and bow the knee and say all to Jesus, I will surrender. My Lord and my Savior, who gave his life for me, who took into his body the toxin of every sin I've ever committed, who delivers me and makes me clean and presents me to the Father clean and forgiven. And I ask, Lord, that for more than one dear heart, there'll be a recovery of a sense of cleanness this morning, and that you'll garment them with your whiteness. Our Lord is rich in mercy toward us, and he has promised to forgive the sins of those who repent and turn to him in true faith. May the Lord pardon you. May he deliver you. May he confirm you. May he strengthen you in all of his goodness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted and ordained this communion as a pledge of his love and for a continual remembrance of his death to our great and endless comfort. To him, therefore, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, let us give continual thanks, submitting ourselves wholly to his holy will and pleasure and choosing to study to serve him in the holiness and righteousness that is his all the days of our life. Let me invite those who will be serving this morning to come forward. And let me invite you just to marinate in the Lord's presence. Worship with the worship team. Commune with the Lord. It's precious to have grace space to consider him.
Of you, my King, I'm giving you my dreams and laying down my rights, giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And now surrender all to you, all to you. And now surrender all to you, all to you. Singing you this, waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your. All to you. a holy God, an all-consuming fire. You're robed in majesty, bright shining as the sun.
Ab as a church body is to take the communion time that we just experienced, each one of us, with the Lord together, and to work that out as a loving body. Amen. For all the world to see. And as I come on and do announcements, that's really what that's about. It's about us working it out for the world to see. As I come and I talk to you about deacon nominations for those who are members, you are nominating those amongst us that can help administer what is really the ministry of Jesus amongst us in front of a watching world. So we ask that you take that seriously and prayerfully. We ask that you fill these out. I would love to get them today. The absolute deadline is Wednesday, because we want to announce the candidates next Sunday. You can put them in the offering plate when that comes. If you don't have one and you need one, if you would raise your hand, I have some gentlemen back there who can get you one. Just keep your hand up until you get one. So you can put that in the offering plate. You can put it through the office door. You can fax it in this week. You can email it. You can call it in. We just want those nominations. Also, there will be a bake sale next week. You need to contact Linda Neighbor. Not next week. The 18th, thank you. It will be to raise funds for the women's ministry to help out with the retreat, to fund some of that. Talk to Linda Neighbor about that, and she'll be organizing it in the next couple weeks. There will also be a book sale if you have books that you have read and aren't going to read again. That'll be in March sometime. The baby bottles that we introduced last week, if you fill them up, you can bring them in and get a new one. If you'll see on the way out the door, there are empty baby bottles for you. If you fill them up, bring them in. Why don't you just get them to me, and I'll put them in a secure place in the office. So hand them to me if you need to do that. If you have trouble parking, a reminder again that behind Citibank on C Street, which is in between the bank and Eastern Market, there is a parking lot that you can park in there. We have got the permission to do that. So if you're having trouble finding a space, you can park there. Now, quiz question. How many people know that we have had a website for almost a year now? Raise your hand. How many people could recite to me the letters that you have to type in order to get to that website? Could you really? I couldn't even do that. It's so complicated. So what we've done is we've created a new website with an easy-to-remember address. www.christourshepherd.org. That's pretty easy, isn't it? We also, I think, if our technology is working, can show you a preview of that website now. There it is. That is the welcome page. As you will see, there are buttons that go to other places. About us, can you click to that one, David? If you look at the button that says about us, this is ideal for someone who wants to find out. They come to you and say, what is your church all about? What do they believe? If you can tell them the website address, which is www.christourshepherd.org. That's the best place for them to go. They can look on here. There's a congregational history, a mission statement. All of it is on that page. Okay. Also on the website will be the pastoral letter that week, which will probably get posted after noon on Tuesday. Okay. So if you look for it before then, it's going to be last week's. But somebody can see a pastoral letter. There will be study questions. Notice, by the way, that with the pastoral letter, we left the picture off so you could print it out and not print out the picture all the time. The picture was done by Nancy Merritt. So you can thank Nancy for that. Ministries page is under construction. Those are just an idea. We will have men's ministry, women's ministry. There'll probably be a care company, and it'll be like the About Us page. You'll click on it, and it'll have a brief description of those ministries. And then let me show you the announcements page. That is a calendar of upcoming events, and then down below are what is called timely announcements. This was me quizzing the deacons to see if they'd actually checked out the page when I asked them to do it. And if they emailed me, they got a little reward. What will be there are things like when we had to cancel New Wine, and we weren't sure we were going to get that out to everybody, we would put that on there. It won't have the kind of things you see in the pastoral letter. Nothing, nobody's name, nobody's phone number will be in there. Okay, this will just be, if there's bad weather and we decide to cancel church, which I doubt we would ever do since people live within walking distance, but something of that nature might be in there. So if you're looking and going, you know, there might have been something that happened at church and I'm not sure if they've canceled something or still having it, you can check the webpage. And then the only other page on there is a home group page. It basically has the same information as the brochure on it. It has where the home groups are meeting. It does not. It just has a location and a time. And if people need more information, they contact the church office. So there is a web page that's available for everybody to use, and especially for people that ask you about the church. The creator of this web page?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Ashley Bell.
Thanks, Ashley.
So when you see Ashley, tell her how beautiful it looks. We did have a very nice big picture there of the church, but it took so long to load that we had to take that off, so. If I could ask Elizabeth to come up and tell us about something new that is coming up, which is deemed Friday Night Fellowship.
We have been wanting to make a chance for people to reconnect at the end of a week and just connect with each other, connect with Jesus. And so we're going to have the first of what we hope will be a series this year of Friday Night Fellowship here at the church. Ideally, we'd like to have everybody at the church, but we know everyone can't come. Mainly, we want like singles, young marrieds, college students. You all are singles and young marrieds. We're going to have some pizza and just a laid-back time of fellowship, getting to know people. Feel free when you get there to sit down, eat, relax. And then if you want to make plans among yourselves and take off after a while, that's great. If people are sticking around, we probably pull out some board games, have a good time. So we would love to see all of you here at the church, 7 o'clock Friday night.
All right, and a reminder that this is the best Friday night to do it because next week the home groups do not meet. It is the first week of the month that we do not meet with home groups. We have lunch right after at the end of the row. If you could pass those along and fill those out, that would help us to keep track of people. Let me pray for the offering. Lord, we ask your blessing on this offering. We ask your blessing on all the activities that go on in our body. Lord, we pray for lunch today. Pray that you would knit us together, that you would have us meet new people and make new friends, Lord, and those especially who are new to the church would feel welcome. And Lord, we ask that you bless this offering. We are dependent upon you, Lord, to be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
While the offering's being taken, I came across this story this week. Forgive me if you've already heard it, but it was about two guys who got marooned on a desert island. And one of them was completely falling apart. He was screaming, "We're going to die, we're going to die." And was repeating that with some force. And the other guy was just leaning up against the tree, just calm as could be, not worrying about a thing. And the guy who was screaming got a bit upset by this. Said, "Well, you know, why aren't you worried? We're going to die. We're going to die." And the guy said, "It's okay. I make $100,000 a week." And the guy said, "How's that going to help you? There's no food. There's no nothing. You're going to die." And he says, "Well," he said, "I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe." And he says, "How's that going to help you? Yeah, you believe that? You're going to die." To which the guy said, "I know my pastor's going to find me." Let me tell you something. That we don't quite operate that way in this church. So if you get marooned, baby, it's you and God. I ain't coming. Okay, I guess we need a name for the Friday night gathering. I think maybe TJIF, thank Jesus it's Friday or something. But anyway, if you need a place to hang out Friday, you got nowhere to go, come. Love to see you. I have another announcement. That I need to make this morning at our communion on behalf of all the elders and the deacons. Yesterday afternoon, we had an important and special meeting of all the youth in our church and their parents who are involved in our youth ministry in order to share with them what I am now going to share with all of you. The elders have been made aware and informed by Mike and Sheila Skillman, who have been directing our youth ministry, that at this season of their life, they believe that their calling and their gifts are leading them to minister more specifically to the junior high school age group, and that they have in fact been in a process of trusting the Lord that for a full-time position in a larger church which has that opportunity. At the end of this past December, Mike confirmed to us that he and Sheila would be leaving COSC to pursue that, and that they had applied for a position, but more recently they have communicated that they first feel they want to take a break from ministry in a full-time capacity for a while and focus on other aspects of their lives, including preparation for what lies ahead. And the elders have released Mike and Sheila to pursue these convictions, and we have also affirmed both to them personally and privately and in our public meetings like last night, we've affirmed both Mike's perception of his giftings and aptitudes for ministry to junior hires, as well as their feelings that the Lord is putting them in a different classroom for a while in the ongoing school of the Holy Spirit. This isn't in fact a time for goodbyes or farewell speeches, as the elders have invited Mike and Sheila to stay on staff until May the 31st, the end of the school year, after which time we have encouraged them warmly and strongly to remain in this community of faith until the Lord leads them otherwise. As I said yesterday and reminded parents and our young people, the Lord matched our needs for them and their need for us at a strategic time. If you remember, those of you who were here then, with neither available funds nor available youth to justify it, we made the decision as a church to see a work planted and begun amongst youth. And the result has been an identity and a face for our youth ministry. And we are so grateful for their ministry and help in this first generation of our church's youth work. And now we will trust the Lord and we're going to look to build on a good foundation that has been laid. We want everyone in the church to be informed about this time of transition as early as possible that we're all embarking on now, and we invite your prayers and your loving commitment for all concerned, as we are just going to trust for the continuing success and blessing and holy achievement of the youth ministry, and as we seek the Lord for further direction and provision. All the plans for this year and everything that has been prayed through will not miss a beat. We are anticipating a fantastic spring and a great summer outreach with Urban Hands and with many other youth activities, from backpacking to camp headwaters and all the rest of it. And we are looking forward to a renewed vision and mission for our youth ministry, but also for a very fruitful and a peaceful time of transition for Mike and for Sheila. And it is a grace to us and a gift to us that we're going to have another few months to work together and to encourage the young people in their walk for the Lord. We've got a great, great bunch of youth. They're a bunch of leaders in the making, and we have encouraged them, and we have said publicly in discussions of this, in the body of Christ, whatever is good of the Father for one cannot be bad for the rest of us. And what is good at this season of their life for Mike and Sheila cannot be bad for us. Sad as we deal with inevitable changes and challenges and stretching, but not bad. And therefore, I invite you, as I invite them, to join in a unity of seeking each other's good more than our own. And the Lord that gives us the grace to receive one another always tests us and gives us the grace to release. And I was saying to the kids last night, you know, it's always a stretching time. But the image I want you to have in mind is the stretch that is the arms wide open. We stretch our arms. That means, one, we will embrace the desires and hopes and longings and visions of those that we love and bless them. And we'll also, with stretched out arms, release them. Because we cannot retain what is not ours to keep. And therefore, we will bless. So will you join with me now as we commit this transition time to the Lord and commit Mike and Sheila and their little ones to the Lord and move on, all of us together in obedience to the will of God for our lives. Let's pray together, can we? Father, we do thank you, every one of us this morning, for every changing season of our life. Lord, we talk about your divine appointments. We can look back and see how strategically you had us in the right place at the right time for purposes which you had foreordained for us. Lord, you have planned the works for us to do before we even dreamed of you. And therefore, we thank you for this assurance we have. And we now, Lord, as a church family, we commit this time of transition apart as holy unto you. We ask, Lord, that you will brood over it by your Holy Spirit. We pray your blessing on Mike and Sheila in this time as they set their faces to know your will and to do it. That you will, by your Spirit, even as we've been talking this morning, teach them and guide them and lead them into all things and teach them the things that are to come, which you said your Spirit would do. And Lord, we also pray for our incredible young people. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you will give them a heart to understand and release and to have grace and a capacity beyond their years to bless and to seek Mike and Sheila's good more, Lord, than what they will at first think is their need. And we ask, Lord, that you'll use all these circumstances in our life to mature us in your ways and in your work. We ask you to do these things for us because we need you to do them for us. Because we present to you our limitations, Lord, our fearfulnesses and our concerns and all the other things. We just cast all our care upon you because we know you care for us. In the Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we go down to lunch and say grace, I wanted to do something which we love to do in the church. It's such a blessing. We've always said at COSC that, well, first of all, it's always God who builds the church. No man can build a church. You know that? We gather together unto him. Let the gathering of the people be unto him. And the Lord flocks us at different seasons of our life in different places, doesn't he? And it's lovely to know his leading and his guiding. And we've always prayed in our church that the Lord would send us sovereignly those that we needed. Because we're unashamed to say we are a needy bunch. And we need all the gifts and ministrations of the Lord in this place to mature us and take us further than we are. And we also ask the Lord to send us those who need us. And you usually find those two things come together. And it's a great joy for me this morning to this communion table welcome into our church and into fellowship the following who I just want to invite to come forward. Jessica Anderson and Dorothea Cook. Is Dorothea here this morning? Dorothea, I was looking for you. And Kevin and Anna and family. Samuel and Andrew. Where's my brother Kermit? I know I saw Kermit, and Ed and Mary Jane, Eyring. We had great fun getting to know Ed on the retreat. Orlando, and dear Sonia, and Julie. Is Julie here this morning? Julie. And Sergio and Marcus. Come on, guys. Isn't the body of Christ incredible? You know, this lot could go off and plant a church all on their own. Okay, squeeze in here. And it just amazes me, you know, as we get to know each other and you catch up on people's stories, the incredible, brilliant, gifted diversity. And you start to talk to people and you realize that all the things you've been praying for, the Lord sends in on 2 feet. In the case of married couples, 4 feet plus add the feet for the kids. Dear ones, let me address you with these other believers here this morning. And first, I ask you, I know it, but I just love to give you an opportunity to confess it. Do you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? And do you acknowledge that He alone is the head of the church? Do you believe after prayer and counsel and godly deliberation that it is God's will for you to be joined to and thus identified with this local body of believers for as long as the Lord wills? And do you, dear hearts, expect to receive the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through these your fellow believers? And do you expect to so minister Christ to us that together we will witness a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the profit of every member? Let me invite all of you to stand. Church family, let me read the words of Scripture to all of our hearts. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and with kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether it be in word or deed, please do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Can I just ask my fellow elders to join me here? Steve, those who are here this morning. Jim, Larry. David's in Eastern Europe. Family, just stretch your hands forward to these precious ones. Lord, we are in awe this morning of what is represented in these lives standing before us. Lord, even as I pray, I know a little of some of these stories. And it is not a little story, Lord. It is one of those huge stories of your power to save and to deliver. To deliver from the power of the evil one and to set feet on a rock. You have taken them, Lord, from being a no people and you've made them your now people. You have taken them from being afar off and you have planted them in the body of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we stand together this morning, Lord, first of all, to thank you for them. Thank you for the day you brought them through our doors for purposes, Lord, which we don't even yet all fully understand. But we choose together to move forward in faith and obedience and in trust and love, preferring one another, seeking each other's good more than our own, and being open, Lord, to receive what you have packaged and invested in these lives that are before us this morning. And as we receive them and as we welcome them, we set them apart as holy unto you. We acknowledge that they are yours. We are not asking for them, Lord, for the purposes of a church. We are coveting them for the fulfillment of your purposes in them. And I believe, Lord, there isn't a life along this line, but there are still unwritten chapters of your book for their life. And there are much years for the kingdom represented here. There are much good works. There are miracles and ministrations of the Spirit that are represented here. And we invite you, Lord, to come upon them afresh by your Holy Spirit as we set them aside to the work of God in this place. May they find this, Lord, to be a fruitful place. May they find it to be a safe place for their souls, O Lord. May they find it to be a place where the tender heart of Jesus garrisons them, heart and mind. Will you, Lord, give them the gifts and virtues they need to be patient with us and meek towards us, to be long-suffering and understanding, and to receive us as we are in you, but to be encouraged by them to press on and become what we long to be. I bless every church that is represented here, Lord, that they have ever been in their lives. The names, Lord, that you've used to bring them to Christ, to pastor those who've brought the word of the Lord to them. We gather them up with gratitude, Lord, because we realize there's a huge army of faith that's represented here this morning. And Lord, we set this time of space, these years that we have together now, or months, or weeks, or whatever it is, we set them aside as holy unto you. We intend to enjoy you in each other, Lord, and we intend to really mature in our love and our life for you. And therefore, dearest Kevin, and dearest Anna, and Samuel and Andrew, and dearest Kermit, my precious brother, and Jessica, I can't believe it. Jessica used to come to my house when she was my daughter's best friend in elementary school. And what a woman of God you, I'm so proud of you. What a woman of God you have come to be. And Dorothea, the blessing of the Lord on you. And dearest Ed and Mary Jane, the blessing of the Lord upon you. And oh, he's, may he keep flushing out all that he has got packed in his hand. To put in your hand to distribute. And dear Orlando and Sonia and Marcus and Sergio, welcome in the name of the Lord. My sweet brother and sweet sister, blessing. Let this be a place of peace for you. And Julie, welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come with blessing. Come with joy. Be who you are in Jesus without shame. Blessings on you. Blessings on you. Welcome. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so grateful and so thankful. I told the guys, I've already got Orlando helping me to work on an area of my life. We've got Kevin, who plays a matchless lead guitar, Kermit, my brother, who tenderizes my heart. All of it is just absolutely wonderful. And I want you to know I've already been the beneficiary as a brother of all that Jesus has in you, and keep it rolling. Keep it rolling. Ed, would you say grace for us as we go down and have a munch lunch together and have an agape time?
Father, this is an exciting time for all of us. Particularly bless those that have made this commitment, that we can live up to those expectations that Stuart heaps on us with his great humility. And Lord, I bless the elders of this church that they would guide it and direct it in the proper way, Lord. And I bless this deacon election, Lord, that the proper people, the people that you've chosen, Lord, would be identified and brought forward.
Yes.
Lord, bless the Skillmans, Lord, as they move forward in their lives.
Lord.
And just bless Christ our Shepherd Church.
We are
just so grateful to have you as our leader.
Yes,
Lord, we've tried to lead ourselves for so long.
Yeah.
And we just welcome you into our spirits, into our lives, Lord.
Lord.
And we are happy that through that spirit that works within us, we can do an exceedingly and abundantly above what we could ever ask or imagine.
Amen.
And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless one another. Lunch is served. If you took 10 years to get your degree or longer, it's also free for you. All righty.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Ha ha ha.